it's neat that I could see Craig struggling there. It's like, I knew there was one more song, and obviously you did too. It's like, what song? And so I just want to affirm what the Lord was saying to you, and that there was one more song. It wasn't the end. And I love how that song starts, and with that first phrase at the end of the first verse, we are here for you. And it's so key. It's so weird that we sometimes forget that. And we're the church. We're called Christians, Christ followers. And yet we sometimes forget that this is all for him. It's all about him. It's all unto him. It's all because of him. He is, throughout the gospel, he is the gospel. How easily we forget. It's amazing. But thankfully, the Lord is gracious, and he understands our forgetfulness. This week, I was praying for my friend Russell, and from the news we got, although it was interesting, I contacted his wife Deb and just said, we're praying for you, and she just said, thank you very much. But from the news we got, Russell passed away on Tuesday morning from cancer. I thought it was Tuesday, but maybe Wednesday morning. Okay. That's right. We went Tuesday night. That's right, because we canceled Bible study. Thank you. Wednesday morning. I was praying for him on Tuesday morning. There you go. And just seeking the Lord and had a wonderful time of prayer. Man, the Lord showed up. And I really was expecting him to be healed. And just the Lord came in a powerful way, manifest in physical ways in me. I could feel him on my hands and just the power of God there. And I was praying for him and prayed all the way to where I felt released. And just often I compare it to when we're worshiping. We come to that place where we know that's it, but Craig takes a few seconds longer to make sure, is that it? And then we move on, and so too my prayers for him were like that. But it was really interesting. Part of my prayer, or a main part of my prayer, and what God was pouring into me, so not just what he wanted to pour through me and out of me, but into me and understanding, was it's all about him. It's all about the Lord. And sometimes in prayer, and especially when we have prayer for a loved one or a friend or whoever, and we're praying for a specific thing, in this case, we are praying for healing, we can sometimes think it's about the healing. And yes, we long for healing. We see healing in Scripture, and we talked about that last week a little bit before we, during the sharing time. But the Lord was just opening my eyes to how much it really is about him. And as I was praying, it's like I've shared this before, the Lord isn't, like Jesus isn't a means to an end, he is the end. He is the beginning and the end. We don't use him to get what we want. He is what we want. Like, he is it. And if we have this mentality of, I need to go to Jesus to get something, or to kind of twist his arm to, because I have an idea in mind for my life or for things. If we come to church because the church has gone through a phase, or a part of the church at least is going through a phase of like basically using God to get what you want, you know, and if you pray a certain way, if you give a certain amount, and you'll get what you want. God, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel message at all. He is what we want. That's all. That's all. As I was praying, I came to realize more and more what it means to pray in faith. Because I used to think, I've thought, and I still have to process a lot of this, so I'm going to be processing for a while. But I used to think praying in faith is being sure of the outcome that we desire. So we pray until, oh, I'm sure someone's going to be healed, or I'm sure this is going to happen, or I'm sure that's going to happen. And the Lord opened my eyes to that's not what it means to have a prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is having faith in the one we're praying to. And just being sure that he has it all. And that he will do what's right. You know, I start to think about situations like this, like praying for Russell. And, you know, we get, and understandably so, we get so laser focused. Because this is the life we have. This is all we know. Right? These few short years on this earth are all we know, this timeline of existence, right? We begin and we end, we're born and we die, every day starts and it ends, and that's our understanding, and yet God stands above it all. He is timeless. He stands above time. Time is a created thing. Even our atheistic scientists are understanding the reality that time is a created, well, they wouldn't use the word created, but there was a time when there was no time. And they're understanding that time is actually a thing in itself. But we know God stands above that. He sees everything as if it were the great, like as if it were now. Like C.S. Lewis, I've quoted this before. C.S. Lewis said he lives in the ever-present now. That's why when he was asked, "What is your name?" "I am. I am. That's my name. I am." And we don't understand that. And in my tunnel vision, you know, God expanded it a little bit. And just to understand that, like, God is understanding a million things at once. You are paying attention. It's so good. Sorry, I shouldn't point you that way. That's too much cuteness over there. I'm going to distract you from what the Lord is saying. Forgive me for that. The Lord sees a million things that I don't see. The Lord understands a million paths that I don't understand. And I get this picture. Okay, everyone back here. Okay, good. All right. That's good. Even my wife was doing it there, you know, just focus. Not on me, but on the Lord here. All right, good. It's totally my fault. The Lord understands a million paths, a million possibilities. All the different people involved, all the different yeses and nos, all the different choices, all the different possible choices. And I look at a situation, we look at a situation, we maybe see one thing, maybe two or three at best. He sees all of it. And so as I'm praying for Russell, yes, my desire, and we are called to bring our requests to God, my desire is that he would have been healed. And even yesterday I was praying for him, because yesterday was 4 days later, you know, Wednesday, Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Actually, Sunday morning. Today's 4 days later, because I was thinking Tuesday still. Today's 4 days later. Well, Lazarus was raised after 4 days. And so yesterday I was praying, thinking it was 4 days yesterday. Lord, even now, you could do that. And my heart goes out to Deb, his wife, and his friends, and his brothers, and his friendship group, and you know, my heart goes out to my former volleyball coach, who I met in his hospital room, because they're good friends. And this guy was my grade 8 volleyball coach, and we hadn't seen each other in 35 years, kind of thing. And the heart goes out to him. And even in that moment, I was able to share Christ and saying, you know what, like, you're invited to this. I was saying to Russell as he's lying in his hospital bed, you know. But then I turned to Rick, you know, his name is Rick, and I said, and you too, like, it's for you too. You're invited too. And they really ministered to him, actually. He was quite, he's like, thank you. Thank you. So I have this focus, and I think of, oh Lord, if he were healed, all these people would be affected. But then the Lord expanded my eyes to more than that. And not to the answers, not to the possible answers and possible outcomes, but he opened my eyes up to him. Now, my faith is in him. My faith is that he will do what's right and what's best and what's good. And even when I don't understand it, I have faith in him, full confidence in him, trust in him. He knows what he's doing. He knows all things, and he can do all things, and he does all things in love, and he doesn't owe me any explanation. And yet he gives me explanation often. But often the explanation is him. It's his heart. I love that prayer that you have, Andrew. I want to know your heart, Lord. Show me your heart. That's where the explanation is his heart. I love that. And so it's not that, okay, yes, we do believe in miracles and we believe that God heals, but it's not even so much that we believe in miracles. We believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus Christ, God made flesh, the Word of God made flesh, who was with God and who was God, who is God. Just going from John 1:1 there. We believe in him. My faith is in you, Lord. My faith is in the fact that you know what you're doing. And you are good. And you are great. You know, I can't make myself see. One of my favorite passages, one of my favorite Bible stories, if you will, is Blind Bartimaeus by the road. And we find, I think a number of the Gospels have this account, but one of them is in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 to 34. It doesn't actually say about Bartimaeus here, but I was reading in Matthew, but it talks about two men receiving their sight. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped and called them, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." And Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. You know, I can't make myself see. I can't make myself hear. I can't raise the dead. I can't heal the sick. But he can do it through me. He can do it in me. My faith is in him. That when he says the word, and if he has decided to do so, it will be done. He does what is right. When he says so, I will see. When he says so, I will hear. I was thinking about, as I was dwelling on this fact, thinking about something that Randy sometimes does. I think he's done it when he's been here, but even when we visited him at his house or at our house, every once in a while he'll pull one of these. Where are the angels in this room right now? I'll pull that. Where are the angels? And if you're anything like me, when I remember he did this at our house when we were there, immediately I go like this. As if that helps. As if that's how you see angels. Is squint your eyes closed and just really try to see them. Fact is, I don't know where they are in the room right now. I know there are angels because Scripture says that we each have angels that walk with us. And they are messengers of God, and they are sent to minister to us. They're ministering spirits on his behalf. But right now, I have no discernment as to where they are. I was thinking about this as I was praying about this yesterday. I do understand that two angels walk with me, and I usually can. I know that they're right here and here. But other than that, I have no discernment. I can't make myself see angels. It doesn't come with trying. If the Lord wanted to open our eyes right now, we would see. And if he decides not to, we won't. And what sometimes will happen is he will open one person's eyes to see, and other people he won't open their eyes. Someone might ask why. I don't know. But I do know this. He is God, and he knows. He does what is good and what is right. Does that mean there's nothing we can do, whether it's for healing or for discernment or for sight, for prophetic word, for prophetic dreams, for interpretation? You know, when someone gives a tongue or when we pray over someone for their birthday, we wait. And I hope that we're learning to not try and make anything up or not to speak out of our own imaginations. I hope we are learning to discern the difference between our own imagination or our own thoughts and what comes from God. But you can't make him speak. You can't make him speak. It's so interesting to me when Hope Church has a tongue. Randy has shared this with me before. He very, 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 very rarely gets an interpretation. Interpretation comes from other people. Is that because he's missing something? Is that because he's just not in tune with God? The Lord just doesn't pour that out. Why? Because the Lord is Lord. Now, does that mean there's nothing we can do? No, that's not what that means. We can position ourselves well. We can do what we know we are called to do. We can follow obediently. We can walk out what he is saying so that we grow in him. And so when the Lord says, go on prayer walks, and I want to show you things and give stuff away to those who are in need and follow me in this and become more uncomfortable, do things that you're not comfortable with, then we follow him in it. Yes, because we have compassion on people, but also, even more so, because I love Jesus and I want to follow, I want to know your heart, I want to be changed. So there are things we can do. Again, why are we gathered here? Why do we get together every Sunday? Because the Lord wants his people to gather. That's what church, in part, means, gathering. You know, I remember a phrase I used to say, and I really said it in a good way. This is back like early 20s in that. And someone would say, where do you go to church? And you answer, well, I don't understand the question. Where do you go to church? I don't understand. I am the church. And meaning that the church is not a building. But actually, the Lord has, you know, over the last while, few years, really shown me, actually, that's not true. I am not the church. I am a part of the church. Because church actually means gathering. And I can't gather with myself. Well, why? Why do we gather? Because we gather around the Lord. And I know for me, I've shared this before, but when we worship together in song as a collective group, as a body of believers who loves Jesus, as we just surround him with our praise and he's enthroned on our praise, I hear him better than at any other time during the week. I hear him so much more clearly. I don't know if that's for everyone or not, but that's the way it is for me. He reveals himself. So is there things that we can do? Absolutely. We position ourselves. We follow in obedience. We say yes to him in what he is saying. We get in his word. We get on our knees. We seek his face. We love him with our whole body. We love him with our whole soul, mind, strength, everything that we have. I think of those blind people, and they're on the side of the road. They position themselves well. But they can't make Jesus come. They have no input into his schedule. They have no input into his agenda. But they position themselves by the side of the road, right close. Maybe it's that main road. I know if he's going to come to our town, he's going to come by this road. And then when he comes, they shout. They don't stay quiet. They start calling out to him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When he gets, when Jesus comes over to them, this is what I love too. This is another one. When he comes over to them and asks, "What do you want?" They have an answer. They're ready. They're ready to answer. It reminds me of Nehemiah when he goes to the King Xerxes and he's all sad. Nehemiah was trying to hide it, I think, or whatever, but he was sad. And then the king says, "What's wrong?" He tells him. Then the king says, "What do you want?" Nehemiah says, "A quick prayer." Or was it Amos? Might be thinking Amos. One of the two. And then he says, "This is what I want." And he actually asks the king to send him to Jerusalem, to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. And by the way, king, can you provide for it? He was ready. Those blind people were ready. I've been dwelling on, again, I shared last week, I've been dwelling on this vision that Julie gave me, and I read it again this morning as she was praying for me, or vision in the night, in the middle of the night. And if I make a mistake, just correct me, but she saw me right next to a riverbed, but it was dry. And I was in prayer, hand kind of like this. That's the picture I got. And just praying, and that was the vision. And she shared how she's praying for just to be flooded with water. Yeah, I'm like, yes, please. As I've been taking that vision to the Lord in prayer and just processing it, it's this place of, I feel encouragement in one way, because it's this place of, you're positioned well. You're at the right place. You're by the river. It's just dry. I can't do anything about that. But when the water comes, I want to be there. I want to be right where the water is when it comes. And I don't know if that's a proper interpretation or not, but so often when I'm praying, whether it's for healing or whether it's for revelation, or you know, you have these promises of more, and you have these different visions that God has given to Emmanuel Grace or to Freedom Ministries or to the North American Church or the worldwide church in general. And how are these things going to happen? How can we see these things? How can we see revival come? How can we can be ready? We got to make sure, though, that our faith is in Him. He knows what he's doing. There is a proper timing, and it's for a good reason. There's a proper way, and it's for a good reason. There's a proper outworking of it, and it's for a good reason. And Lord, if there's anything that's holding me back, show me, because I want to walk this out. If there's anything that I am doing where I'm not positioned well, where I'm not following, where I'm not seeking, Lord, correct me, because you know what? Then I want to be corrected. I want to change things in my life. But I wait for you. I wait for you, Lord. And I want to be ready. As I was meditating on this, I thought about the parable of the 10 virgins. And they waited. 5 were ready, 5 weren't. They all fell asleep because it was taking so long. They can't make the bridegroom come any faster. That's not in their control. But they positioned themselves so that when he did come, they were right there. And they were ready with the oil, the 5 wise virgins. I want to be right there, ready. Trusting that he knows what he's doing. In Matthew 28, just before Jesus was taken into heaven, He tells the disciples that all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to him, which is pretty amazing. All authority, he is God, of course, but all authority has been given to the Son. Which means, you know what? Authority over the cancer that struck Russell, Jesus has authority over that. Death that took Russell, again, it's 4 days later, Jesus can do whatever he wants. He has authority. He has authority over our coming and our going. He has authority over the locusts. I love that passage that you read. He has authority over the locusts, and he has authority over the blessing. He has authority over the crops. He has authority over the bounty. He has authority. He has authority in our lives. And my faith is in him. Our faith needs to be in him. And what that looks like is this place of, Lord, you know what you're doing. One of the things that I have to work through and had to work through and confess to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for is sometimes I join in that accusation that is leveled against the Lord. The enemy starts it, but we sometimes join in so easily. Don't you hear me? Don't you care? Why aren't you doing this? This is such a good idea. Don't you understand that these people need you? Don't you understand that they're dying without you? And we might not ever let it come out our mouths, because as soon as it comes out our mouth, we're like, ugh. We maybe recognize how ugly that is. But if you're anything like me, those things creep up in your heart. It's like the Lord looks back at me and says, Kevin, don't you know who I am? Don't you understand? I'm seeing more and more who he is and how great he is and how loving he is. And he has a timing in it all. And he has a purpose in it all, and he has a way. And I understand more of his ways than I used to, but I don't understand nearly all of them, not even close. But I understand his heart more and more. And my faith is in him. I find myself not demanding explanation as much as I used to. And I find myself not trying to control him as much as I used to, trying to control Jesus. That's the most silly thing ever. But let's face it, we do that, don't we? As if he answers to us. He doesn't answer to us. He knows what he's doing. Whether it's he takes us through green meadows or he takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, he knows what he's doing. Whether he raises someone from the dead or he allows death to take its course, he knows what he's doing. Whether he opens our eyes to angels ever, I don't know. I've never seen one. I just have a sense of them sometimes. But I want to be grateful for that. But if he ever opens my eyes to it or not, trust him. Whether he catches us up to the third heavens and reveals mysteries that are beyond words, or whether we just walk through life never even catching a glimpse of that kind of thing. He knows. He knows. He's in charge. And so I will follow you. Not to get anything from you except you. I just want you. That's all I want. you. I have faith in you. You know what you're doing, and you'll tell me what I need to know when I need to know it. And I'll pray for these things, and I'll bring my requests, and I know that you will answer yes to those things that you know need to be answered yes to. And you'll answer no to those things that you know need a no at that moment. And maybe later they'll turn to a yes, but maybe not. There's so much peace and rest in that, where no agenda, Lord, except you. That's it. My faith is in you. Again, I was reading in Matthew, and there's a corresponding passage in Mark that talk about Jesus going to his hometown, and it says he could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And I've always thought, and this is just my interpretation, so not thus saith the Lord, this is just the way I'm processing it, but I always thought because they didn't have faith that he could do miracles. I don't think that was it. They started despising him, like, who is this? This is just the carpenter's son. This is just this. They just, you know, they look down on him like, I remember when Jesus was in diapers and I changed his diapers. Who does he think he is, kind of thing? It was, but they probably knew he did miracles. They probably heard all the stories and all the accounts, and maybe some had already seen it. So what does it mean that they didn't have faith? He couldn't do many miracles because of their lack of faith. I think it's because they didn't have faith in him. When we were in Jerusalem, or in Israel, our guide talked to us about the woman healed of internal bleeding, and where she reached out and touched the edge of Jesus' garment, and it was actually his prayer shawl, and the word that the corner of his garment is the word tzitzit, so it's this part of the prayer shawl, right? It's the very corner. This is called the tzitzit, and this represents the knots represent the law and the different laws of God, and he was saying that in Malachi, where it talks about healing under his wings, the Messiah. It's a messianic passage, and there's healing in his wings, and the word wings there is the same word for the corner of the prayer shawl, the tzitzit. And so what the guide was saying is, she, in her reaching out, she was proclaiming and she was acknowledging, this is the Messiah, so there has to be healing in his wings. There has to be healing on the corner of his prayer shawl. And she reached out. Why? Because she had faith in him. Because she knew who Jesus was. I have faith in you, Lord. I don't want to use you. I don't want to be like Herod or Pilate, who just wanted a clown show, a gong show, if you will, or a little bit of amusement. I don't want to use you for my own ways, like the mob kind of wanted to use Jesus. You know, overtake Jerusalem, throw down Rome. Arr, that's what we want. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are not leaders of Jesus Christ. We are followers of Jesus Christ, who is Messiah, who is Lord of all, who is God in the flesh, the Word made flesh. My faith is in you. My faith is in your heart for me, your heart for humanity. My faith is in you, and I know you will do what is right. I know you will do what is right. So yes, I bring my requests to you, Lord, but I bring them in such a way where I have no idea even what I'm asking. I have such a narrow view of life. I have such a limited view. First of all, I have hardly any peripheral vision at all, because we just get so caught up in our own lives, right? And then I have hardly any depth perception at all. I don't even know what's good for me. I don't even know what's good for me down the road. What do I need today that will make me into who I'm called to be tomorrow? I don't know. But he does. And so I lay my life at your feet, Lord. If I need encouragement, then pour out encouragement. If I need discipline, pour out discipline. If I need a gentle word, pour out a gentle word. If I need healing, then give healing. If I need hardship, then give hardship. If I need a thorn in the flesh from the enemy, then I pray for that thorn in the flesh from the enemy. But I know you'll also give the grace that I need to get through it. But if that's what I need, and if that's not just what I need, if that's what Emmanuel Grace needs, I'm talking about in me now, if that's what I need to go through for the sake of Emmanuel Grace, or if that's what I need to go through for the sake of Niagara, or for the sake of Ontario, or for the sake of Canada, or for the sake of the world, then so be it. You know, I don't. I often can't see beyond my own nose. But I have faith in you, Lord. Oh, we'd love to see miracles. Oh, I'd love to see angels. I'd love to be caught up in visions and dreams. I would love to have visions like Peter had, where he couldn't tell the difference between reality and a vision. That's how real the vision was. I know some people who've gone through that. Darla has gone through some of those. Randy's gone through some of those. I would love that, Lord. Sure. I don't know if that's meant for me. Or I don't know if I have walked out what needs to take place for that to take place. I don't know. I'll just leave that at your feet, Lord. That's the least of what I'm asking for, actually. Does all that make sense? We have faith in him. We are here for you. We are here for you. Are there any questions or comments?
Mm-hmm. The thought that keeps running through my head is just like at the core of all this is that humility that God says for us to walk with him in. And really that's the exact picture that Jesus, because he didn't do anything unless the Father told him to do it. And even when he asked for the past to cup if possible, he was like, well, I know my Father, so that's just the way, right? So, yeah, it's just, this example is everywhere.
Yes.
So it's pretty neat. But, yeah, humility is kind of what keeps coming to my mind.
That's good. Anyone else?
It's interesting that you're talking about this morning, because that's one of the things that's been on my mind a lot the last couple weeks. You know, in light of that dream that I had and my brother was able to come, I felt like, oh God, this is a miracle that you've done for our family, that we can be together. But in that, it's like I don't know, I didn't believe that it would happen, right? He just made it happen. And even though he gave me this dream and I just didn't really think about it, but it got me thinking about how, I don't know, years ago we were in Indiana and Randy had asked for, you know, people could come for prayer and ask God, I think it was for healing even, because I went up and asked him to pray for my shoulder, which was getting really bad and really painful. And he prayed for me and like, I was just waiting for God to do a miracle. I believe that you could do this, God. And from that point on, it actually got worse and worse and worse. And I struggle with disappointment about that, because I felt like, here I am, Lord, expecting, you know, you to do something that I've asked you to do, and I know that you can do, and he didn't do it. And, you know, here's another example where I didn't expect him to do anything and he did it. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Right. And I struggle with that because I am, you know, kind of cerebral, and I try to figure it out and think about it. But I think this helps me today to just remember to focus on him, and it's not about the thing. It's not even about the thing that he's doing, right? It's just about that relationship with him. So thanks for that.
That's good. You're welcome.
While I was away, is it on?
Mm-hmm.
While I was away, lots of time to meditate, go through a lot of things, and this is actually very close. Like he just told me the phrase, "For the glory of the Lord."
Yes,
two powerful words for me. Glory, right? Credit to him, not credit to me. For whose glory, right? And then Lord is the depth of that, right? Like that's somebody you follow who's in charge, right? Who's got the authority, like you talked about. Who's Lord in my life? Who's got the authority? Who's getting credit? You know, like, why am I here? You know, salvation, right? Like this thing of God has got some good things for us, right? And we get caught up in that and we forget that it's for his glory. It's for him.
It's good. So, Lord, I pray for a deeper revelation of you. Forgive us for when we forget that it's all about you. And yes, you do things for us because you love us. And we want to do things for you because we love you. And you love giving good gifts. And we don't want to push those aside. But ultimately, at the end of it all, it's you. We want you. We look to you. We have faith in you. You are a good father. You are a good savior. You are a good friend. Good doesn't even begin to describe it. And we know that you will do what's right. Show us, Lord, how to position ourselves. Show us how to follow so that we are ready for whatever you want to pour out. Whatever. Whether they be things that we would consider wonderful or whether there are things that we would consider hard and difficult. We want to position ourselves well for you, for your glory. We are here for you. Just this phrase, we are at your service. Thank you for filling me with prayer for Russell. And yeah, it didn't turn out like I was hoping it would. But I thank you that I can honestly say you did what was right. I know. Not because I know how it'll all work out or how it will all affect people, but because I know you. I know your heart. I know those prayers weren't wasted, and I pray that I'd be set free from any temptation from the enemy to think they were. I know you. And we want to know you better. I want to know you better. So I pray for revelation of you. You are worthy. Pray this all in your name. Thank you. Amen.